Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you're a little behind, just swing on over there. You can catch up real easy. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at BurkTime, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man. With so many E's, I almost forgot my Twitter handle.
Oh, so, you know, Dan, I was looking and trying to find something or anything or whatever it is, and I'm under the impression now that do they only report bad sports news? I mean, I was trying to find something good to, for you and I to even talk about, but there's really nothing out there. Have you seen anything positive?
I mean, I wasn't sure if you were referring to the fact that, and you know, and this is going to get old really quick. So, you know, last week, or I'm assuming last week, you know, this whole lifestyle right now, I don't know what day it is anymore, except when I feel like my daughter, you know, when she wakes up on Saturday morning, where's me going today? You know, those are her words, because she used to go in somebody's house, and we're trying to get her on proper English, but, you know, she's only three, so we're still working on that. But that's how I feel, like, where's me going today? And then I realize, oh, I have off today. But my other boss is bossing me around, so I got shit to do on my outside my house. But regardless, you know, last week you mentioned that NASCAR is banning, was that the word you said about the Confederate flag? They're banning it, right?
Yeah.
I just want to clarify. Okay, so the NASCAR banned the Confederate flag. You know, Big Jack and I went through, you know, we discussed why it's appropriate. It's about, you know, okay, I get it. You know, no backlash on our end. You know, we're not going to complain about it. Just accept it, move forward. I have no attachment. You know, I wasn't here for the Civil War. Nobody in my family was. Big Jack, I don't know about you. So, I believe were your grandparents immigrants too?
Yes, from Ireland.
Yeah, so you know, neither one of us have ties to it. We didn't grow up in the South. Quite frankly, you know, I speak for myself. I don't know if I speak for you, Big Jack, but I don't give a crap about the Confederate flag. You know, it was one of those things growing up that I always kind of wondered, you know, like, why is it still celebrated? You know, even honored or whatever, you know, but I guess you get to a point where you're just accepting and you just kind of move forward. And I think that's where the whole silence is violence kind of thing comes out. You know, and I didn't really reflect on it until this weekend when the whole Juneteenth came out, which to me personally, I feel like it's just a funny word to say. So I think they could come up with something better, but that's just me. I don't have any complaints about it. I'm not going to knock anybody because it's the truth. You know, when you think about it growing up, I always questioned and, you know, we were never given an answer by our teachers. If the Declaration was a sign, you know, signed and everything and all men were created equal, how come we still had slaves? So, okay, I'm not going to argue with it. There's you know, I didn't reflect on it until recently because you go to school and you complete it and then you're out of history class and you just really don't think about it ever again. So we have the NASCAR flag, you know, NASCAR bans the flag, and some genius with way too much money on their hands, or they have a cousin that has a plane, decided to fly a plane pre-NASCAR with the Confederate flag that says defund NASCAR. Forgive my language, but I don't know what asshole wasted their time and money to do that. It's just and you wonder why there's a problem in this country. You wonder why. You know what I mean?
Well,
go ahead.
Don't forget there were also a large gathering of fans outside of the track that showed up with their Confederate flags. You know, because you can no longer fly them inside the track, but they can't stop them from showing up and hanging out outside of the track. So yeah, they had a large number of fans do that as well.
Yeah, and you know, I get it. It's United States of America, freedom of speech, but you want to continue to do that, that's fine. And all you're going to do is hurt the sport that you love. So kind of in essence, what Big Jack and I talked about, you know, when the protests, you know, for the George Floyd incident started happening, we agree, protest all you want. But when you start going out there rioting and looting, you're not doing anything other than hurting your cause. So those rioters and looters, which were not all black Americans, they were mixed. I've seen a lot of white people in there too, just because there's a mask on, we could still see skin tone, you know. And, you know, this one I can't confirm, but from what I saw, a lot of the footage was young kids, young, stupid kids. And, you know, I think I wish our country would have did what China was doing and just spraying the looters with blue paint or, you know, something they can't get off of them so you can find them all later and arrest them. But, you know, both sides, you know, with that, the rioting, looting. Go ahead.
You know, to be fair, there were some things I needed from Target. If they would have looted in my area, I may have stopped by and picked a couple things up, you know.
Well, they weren't going to stop you. Don't even go to your favorite city. Seattle, 9 blocks are under control of anarchists.
That's just nuts, but, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, we're not a political show, so we won't really get into that one. I haven't listened to a whole lot of it, so I don't know anything about it, just what this one post was. But, you know, again, you know, for the protests, the rioters and looters made all the peaceful protesters look bad. These people who show up with the Confederate flag wanting to put it out there, you're making it look bad. You're making NASCAR look bad. You're going to put them in a bad light. And if NASCAR gets defunded and they start losing, you know, which I don't think they would, but if they start losing out, then it's your fault. You know what I mean? Because regardless of how you look at it, you want the best athletes in that sport. You know, today I went and dropped off my car to get an oil change, and you know who works there now? Oh my God, you'll get ready for 2020. A black woman was working in a car shop doing oil changes and stuff. Oh my God. You know what I mean? So, you know, we got to get off the colors, you know, just get over it already. And you want the best athletes in that sport. And why would you want to continue? Why would you want to hold your sport back with these ignorant, you know, just kind of biggity things? I don't understand that. Don't you want the best sport around? You want the best drivers. You want your sport to be national. You know, NASCAR on a grand scale for, you know, the United States is of the big five technically, but there's really only big four, you know, so they fall in last. And so, you know, NASCAR, I think, has been accepting of change. I mean, you know, we had 1,500 years of the Winston Cup, and then all of a sudden cigarette ads were gone, and NASCAR didn't hesitate.
Yeah.
Although I think they could have went with a better company than Sprint, but boom, boom, you know, bad joke, but, you know. So I think it's a good thing what NASCAR did. What these people are doing, I think it's stupid. You're just showing your ignorance. I don't know. What are your thoughts on it? Because that's the only real sports news I got out of this weekend.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm a little more understanding than you are. I get that you know, that flag means a lot to the people in the South. And, you know, originally it was never set up to be a racist symbol. You know, if you ever go and look what the Confederate flag is supposed to stand for, it has absolutely nothing to do with race. You know, there's a whole basis on why it's designed the way it is. And obviously, you know, the southern part of the United States has, or especially the Southeast, has always been considered, you know, more racist than anything. And for the longest time, NASCAR was exclusively a southern sport. You know, the oddity to it is they didn't break out until there was a blizzard that shut down most of the eastern part of the United States and people couldn't go anywhere. And it ended up having millions and millions of people tune into this NASCAR race that had a fantastic finish, and they really enjoyed it, and it expanded their fan base exponentially, and all of a sudden it went from being almost exclusively a southern sport to us having races all over America. But, you know, the roots of it are in the deep South. And, you know, again, unfortunately, that was always considered one of the most racist parts of America. You know, I mean, I'm sure you've heard probably every black comedian tell jokes about Alabama or Mississippi or something like that. You know, it's not the best area for black people. But, yeah, originally the flag was never meant to be that sign as a racist thing. So, you know, I get where some of these people are coming from. The problem becomes, you know, they're in a fight that they can't win because it's been a racist symbol so long that they're just going to have to figure out how to let it go. You know, there's no coming back from it. You know, and again, I mean, you know, you want to protest George Floyd's death or whoever got killed. Well, you know, you got to let these people protest too, no matter how it makes them look.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I found online, you know, Facebook fact checked, kind of threw this out there, so you know, take it for what it is. But supposedly, what the Confederate flag really means: the red represents the blood of Christ, the white border represents the protection of God, the blue X represents the Christian cross of St. Andrew, the first disciple of Christ Jesus and patron saint of Scotland. The 13 stars represent the 13 southern states. Thus, the message of the Confederate battle flag is, through the blood of Christ with protection of God, we, the 13 states, unite in our Christian fight for liberty. So when you think about it, you want to put it all onto religion. You're a hypocrite because you were converting, you were forcing slaves to convert to Christianity and not setting them free. So it's basically all based on lies. And on top of that,
and, you know,
it's surrounded by white, represent God, but white people. You know what I mean? So it just, you could flip it so many ways, and it just symbolizes racism.
Yeah, and well, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, the humorous thing about that is I guarantee you that the majority of people had no idea that that's what the Confederate flag stood for. I had no clue until I heard about it a couple weeks ago. So, you know, again, I mean, you know, you want to protest, this is America protest. You're welcome to do that. I you know, as long as it's done properly and you're not violent, I have no issues with you. You know, you can go out and protest whatever you want. But again, I mean, you know, it's almost like to this point now where you get a KKK rally. Great, you have your beliefs, but you're not winning this fight because there's just not enough members. You know, I mean, these Confederate flag people were easily outnumbered. You know, do they have, you know, and then right now the oddest thing is they can't really even affect the sport because nobody can go to the races. So they can't impact the one thing they can control, which is attendance, because, you know, they allowed 5,000 people in, and they got 5,000 people. So, you know, and again, you know, that's how fans control the sport, by not going. And they can't do that. So, it, you know, it's the oddest, you know, the oddest thing. And I did want to clarify, I heard somebody taking shots at Richard Petty today. And now if you don't know who Richard Petty is, look it up, because he's probably the greatest NASCAR driver of all time. He also owns the team that happens to be driven by the only black driver, Bubba Wallace. And somebody was taking shots at Petty for not being at the races since they've restarted. And he is there today. But, Dan, you got to realize this man is 82 years old, and just the slimmest chance of him getting the coronavirus isn't worth the risk of him showing up at these races. You know, they've had a couple crew members test positive on some teams. You know, the elderly are more vulnerable for this. You know, it's not a point where he needs to be taking his life in his hands. He showed up today to support his driver. Because I don't know if you heard this story, Dan. They found a noose in Bubba Wallace's garage. Some jackass got in there somehow and put a noose in his garage. So Petty showed up to, you know, help support him. And so did the other drivers. But, yeah, to take shots at an 82-year-old man who really has to watch his health and the situation we're in, I thought was kind of cheap.
Yeah, well, you know, all that corona stuff only applies if you're going to a Trump rally, but you could protest in the streets all you want and it doesn't matter. I mean, that's pretty much what I got over the weekend from national news. You know, like, God, I'm so sick of hearing about all of it. But
well, you know, that's my biggest problem with it is, you know, they spin it right to the negative. Oh, you know, he owns, but he's not supporting his black driver. Well, no, he's 82 years old. He's got a better chance than anybody of getting sick. You know, and they've already had positive tests, and I don't believe it was his team. But obviously, you know, like they're saying, if it can travel 6 feet, all you got to do is land it close enough to somebody, and all of a sudden you've got it. You know, I mean, do we really want to see the greatest NASCAR driver of all time die from the COVID-19 because he showed up at a race? No, I think we'd like to keep him around a little longer. So, it was just stupidity, I thought, on somebody's part to go after him like that. But yeah, that, you know, again, that was just me. I don't know what they, you know, what they're going to do or how they're, you know, how it'll turn out. But, I just hope they catch this idiot who put the noose in the garage. And, you know, apparently they called in the FBI. So we'll see if they can solve anything. But yeah, you know, that's about the stupidest thing I think somebody could have done. I don't know what they were thinking they were going to accomplish. Are they going to burn a cross in his garage next week? That's just completely asinine on somebody's part. So I hope they catch this idiot and charge him, or maybe her. I guess I shouldn't presume it was a man. I just hope they catch them and prosecute them to the fullest extent they can.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's getting tired, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You have that, you're that hung up on it, then, I mean, I don't even, there's, what is the solution? There, I don't, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's just what makes it so difficult.
It seems to get more and more ridiculous. But kind of moving on here, Dan, I got to wonder, do you think this NBA restart is in jeopardy now that Florida is all of a sudden like the home of the coronavirus and they had all this huge spike and all these new cases? Even though they're kind of playing in their own little bubble, Do you think it's kind of threatened these things? I did see that David Bertrand of the Washington Wizards is the first player to come out and say he's not going to go play. Interesting, the Wizards are like the last team in, and they're not going to win anything anyway, so I don't know what an effect it has on, you know, any other player. But, you know, should they have a concern and maybe rethink their plan and just say sayonara, we'll see you next year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm full on. I think we kind of discussed it last week, too. You know, there's definitely more value in a restart for the NBA because they pretty much played almost their whole season to begin with. You know, so I don't think the value is lost in having a championship series, with the exception that you might not get, you know, the best of your team, you know, due to Corona and all that. But with this, to quote the television people, the uptick in the curve, you know, I think it's not going to – I think it puts it in jeopardy, you know, because now you're getting to the point where even if they are in phase four, like Chicago is supposed to be this Friday, what do you call it? It just – I think it puts it in jeopardy. You know, because you're not going to be allowed to have the fans there.
Could you imagine the uproar if they got to the finals and, like, LeBron James contracted the coronavirus and couldn't play in the finals?
The uproar? Can you imagine the sweating in the front office of the mothership for all the execs up there? They'd be losing their, you know, they'd be losing it there. So...
Maybe you can explain this to me, because I'm always kind of baffled by this. When I see, like, you know, well, they just reported their highest number of cases since I don't know when, you know, because you've got your foil hat on, I'm sure. Can't they manipulate that number just by releasing these cases whenever they want to? I mean, nobody really tracks this, do they?
People allegedly track it, but, you know, the other part I didn't understand is, you know, after Florida opened, they were claiming that there's all these new cases, but I thought it takes like 14 days before you to get like a positive or negative test. So I don't understand half of this. So,
well, they do,
you
have
know, just because
you can call them faster. So,
yeah. Well, they didn't have it. Now they have it. You know, I don't, you know, who do you believe anymore? Just because the flyers that come out or the news is populated from CNN doesn't make it any less propaganda like the Nazis used to hand out. You know, there's my foil hat comment of the day.
What I want to know is where the hell they got all those tests. It took me forever to find a testing station when I needed one, and I had to drive an hour away to go get tested. So,
yeah, you know, and that's where, like, we're supposed to just buy it, you know. 3 months ago, you can't just have a test because it takes a full year to get a test because you got to, you know, conduct the test. Then you got to do the trials and, you know, which they leave out the fact that they're not testing on humans so they don't upset PETA. And then, you know, once you go through the animal or the fake animal testing, however, you know, the alleged animal testing, then you get your human trials, which, you know, with the 14 days, you've got to assume it takes at least 3 months to get an accurate result, 3 to 6 months to get an accurate result on human trials. And I'm not a scientist or know anything about this process. And I just laid out, what, like a 6 to 9 month process?
Yeah, because, you know, I just found it odd that, you know, it was like, this is the biggest spike they've had. Well, okay, well, you're the state. Can't you just decide, well, we're going to release all these numbers at once instead of day to day, and it's going to look huge, and we're going to, you know, mess with the NBA here because they're supposed to be coming to town. And I don't know. It just seems so odd to me. And I was like, oh, okay. But, you know, like, I know I haven't heard much from them, so it looks like they're full speed ahead. So you know, I guess we'll see what they decide to do. I know it's supposed to be when were they supposed to start? Was it the end of next month?
July something. Yeah.
But yeah, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. And now, you know, I did see while we're in the basketball topic here. Did you see that they are going to auction off what is about 22 hours of Kobe Bryant footage from when he was in high school?
I hope they're giving that to his family, the money.
You know, yeah, I haven't heard quite yet, but apparently it comes from a show called High School Sports Show by somebody named Stu Ross, and apparently there is, what do they got here, 22 hours of footage just between gameplay and interviews. And let me see if they – yeah, they don't have a – they don't – let's see. Yeah, they don't say where the money's going to go. All they say is the auction is going to take place at Profiles in History in Calabasas, California. That's just outside of Los Angeles, in case you plan on attending. And it will be July 23rd. And they expect the price – they expect it to go from between – $250,000 and $350,000. So, but yeah, again, it doesn't say where the money's going. So I'm guessing it's going to whoever currently owns the tape at the tapes at the time. But yeah, I was trying to think. If you're a collector, are you interested in something like that? Is that something that goes up in value? Or you think if you've got it, now's the time to sell it?
I think now's the time to sell it if you've got it. I mean, but...
Yeah, because obviously it's not something you're going to watch over and over. And I would love to know what kind of tapes it is. Are you just buying a bunch of old VHS tapes? No.
Well, no, you might be VHS, you know, the actual tapes. The thing with that, though, is if you buy it, you want to own the rights to it so you can sell it to, or not sell it, but, you know, anytime it gets used, get those, that money that comes along with it. I forget what they call that, residuals, I don't know. You know, like if ESPN or Channel 7, which is ESPN, or I don't know, the NBA Network, or any of those companies, or even some random filmmaker wants to do a documentary about Kobe, you could sell them that footage, you know, the rights. You could license that right out to use that footage. You know, kind of like when Michael Jackson screwed Paul McCartney and bought the rights to Beatles music.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and apparently,
and I say that
this library includes, yeah, they say this library includes 130 hours of film and 700 athletes, and they list here it's LeBron James, Tom Brady, Michael Phelps, Ryan Braun, Dwayne Wade, and Shaquille O'Neal are some of the players that are involved in this footage. So not on the Kobe footage, that's separate from the Kobe Bryant footage. So whoever this guy was or whoever was doing this, they collected a lot of amateur footage. I would be interested to know the quality, though. I think, you know, I've seen some of those high school tapes that are just terrible.
Oh, I mean, think about this, Big Jack. 2005, whenever we had that match against each other, where you crushed me. You know, we were at a point where we could use, you know, a home video camera, plug it into your computer and upload it to YouTube. And I mean, if you try watching that match on a TV, an H, you know, a TV that we have, a flat screen that we have today, oh my, the quality is horrible. And that was 2005. You think about what footage they were using, recording devices they're using in the 90s when Kobe was in high school. You know, 90, yeah, right? The 90s. Doing my math wrong. So, yeah, the 90s. And, you know, even the early, LeBron's early time, you know, you got to imagine that footage isn't, I don't want to say it's garbage, but it's not the best quality.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking. I was like, man, what kind of quality? I mean, you know, obviously it'd be nice. You know, it'd be nice to have if you're a collector. I'm sure it's something you, you know, you would relish. But yeah, all I kept thinking is, man, what kind of quality are we going to get?
You know, I mean, I guess it's a part of history, but I think for guys like you and I, it really holds no value. You know, like, what would I do with it?
Yeah, that's what, you know, I mean, I get it, and then I just put it away, you know.
Pretty much, and hope to sell it for more money. I don't
know.
You know, that was kind of my goal, too, with pro wrestling, but unfortunately none of the indies that we worked with, except for that one girl, you know, really made it, so.
Yeah. Just one of those things. But yeah, interesting you brought up wrestling, because I'm wondering if you have caught, did you catch any of the stuff going on with this over the weekend? You know, were you on Twitter at all and listening to or reading any of the stuff they were talking about the women being forced to do things? Or did you look into or hear any of that?
No, please elaborate.
You know, I'm trying to think about I'm trying to remember what they called it. The hashtag was like speak out or something like that. And it was basically, you know, from the female point of view of women who had been forced into doing sex, you know, having sex with male wrestlers, or you know, abusive relationships with male wrestlers, and you know, there was some pretty just terrible stuff involved there. And I, you know, I was kind of thinking back, and you know, I realized that, you know, because I did it for about 25 years, and luckily I never thought get to that point where anybody was forced to do anything. You know, I know there were quite a few propositions and a lot of guys hitting on the women, and I want to be fair to tell you the truth. It happens to the guys, too. Obviously, it happens to the women much, much more. But, you know, I know male promoters who approach male wrestlers saying, you know, hey, you want to win this title, do me this little favor, and, you know, that kind of stuff. And you know, it was an ugly business, and I'm guessing probably still is at some level. But yeah, now the women are starting to speak out, and you know, there were a lot of guys who lost jobs. I know the WWE released Jack Gallagher because there was an allegation of rape against them brought up on Twitter. Impact has cut ties with Joey Ryan, who I've heard for years was a complete ass. He finally got caught, you know, he finally got implicated by multiple people. And then there was an odd story. I know this guy's been gone from TNA for a while, but he wrestled as Kongo Kong. Now, oddly, I knew this guy before TNA signed him. I had worked with him multiple times, and he was a complete jerk. But he had Yeah, you know, I leave his name out just because I'm trying to be a good guy here. But, yeah, he had a match with a kid, and the kid didn't make him look good. He actually made the kid drop his pants and whip out his penis, and then he made the kid give him his payday. And he actually tried, in his statement, when he came out to defend himself, he mentioned that that's just how the business was in those days. And I got to tell you, Dan, I've had quite a few bad matches with people, and I've never made anybody do that. So I didn't believe that was any kind of defense as it is. And here's a little story I'll tell you about this guy, Dan. I was working for a Fed that brought him in and wanted to push him. Now, he was working under a different name because he's a big athletic dude. He really is. And he brought one of his students that he wanted to work. Now, if you've seen Congo Kong, he's 6'5", 6'6", probably pushing four bills. He's probably 400 pounds. He brought a student who was about 5'10 or 5'11. And, Dan, if I would have put him on the scale with weights in his pockets, he probably wouldn't have gotten to a buck 50. So at the time, I was structuring the matches for this guy because he needed help and he knew I'd been around a long time. I went to them and I said, okay, look, here's how your match is going to go. I said, I need it to last about 3 to 5 minutes. Give the kid the opening spot so he's got a little hope. Give him one hope spot during the match, like miss a splash in the corner or something like that, and then squash him. Makes total sense, right? You got this giant guy against the little guy. He went to the promoter and complained. The promoter was too nice of a guy, let them go 10 to 12 minutes. Their match was the worst match on the card. So I went to the promoter and I said, hey, I want to work this guy next show because I was pissed. Word got back to him, Dan. He never came back to the Fed.
Congo or the little kid?
Congo. Never came back to the Fed. So, I, matter of fact, I haven't seen him since. The little guy we used all the time, he was a good dude. So, but yeah, you know, the guy, you know, and unfortunately the guy who helped train him was a complete ass. And I was like, yeah, I want this guy in the ring. He needs to learn a lesson. And, you know, he was bigger than me, but, man, I was livid. I was, you know, I was going to take this guy's head off. Never came back. And I'm not even a tough guy. I was just pissed. So it just kind of shows you what kind of person he is. You know, but it was one of those things that I know you've heard this in the business before. He didn't want to work a short match because he couldn't get all his moves in.
Yeah.
You know, for the 100 people that were the Indian that paid to come see him, he couldn't get all his moves in for those people. So, but yeah, I'm not at all that this guy was implicated. And there's quite a few more names, you know, that have popped up. So it's kind of a weird time in the wrestling business.
No, it's a good time. I mean, there's always. I guess, well, I don't know if you wouldn't really call me a promoter, but I helped run one, and, you know, we didn't work that way. You obviously, you were there, and, you know, we were just trying to get everyone to come in and work, and that was a whole nother thing. But, you know, when you think about it, it's hard because not being in the promoter side for so long, you see the women who come in, and then you see how they go from one wrestler to the next, you know, which gives them the nickname that we call them. And some of them, that's how they make their way, you know, but, you know, that's how they get their name. You know, right now there's that one girl who's pretty damn popular. I forgot her name. But, you know, I still remember when she was coming to shows because she worked for, like a Hooters type restaurant. You know, our wrestling company was doing a cross promotion with this new restaurant.
Yeah.
And I forgot what it's called, but, you know, Tilt-A-Kilt, there you go. You know, she's just a hot girl that worked there. And, you know, their whole thing was short skirts and short shirts. And like, I think she's on TV now, but, you know, not just her, but, you know, there was other wrestler girls who, when I joined, was with this guy until she wanted to move up or move on, and then she dumps that guy and moves on to the next. You know, so there was that fine line. To me, And you, when you look, think about it, it could have been that they were falling for the manipulation of the promoter, because that's generally what happened. You know, the girl was with the wrestler, and then she ends up messing around on him with a promoter, and all of a sudden she's getting all the good matches at this place. And so it's, you know, but is it a negative thing, like the guy forced them? No, but it's such a fine line, because they're manipulating them into a new relationship, you know? So it's just, it was always hard. And I think I got the lesson early on. And, you know, you talked about this before too, is, you know, guys who've never been injured, and I think this, I don't know if this works for all sports, but I know it definitely works for wrestling. If you join indie wrestling, wrestling, whatever, and you wrestle for 10 years straight and don't have a serious injury except for, you know, bumps and bruises here and there, and don't take serious time off, you see the loyalty or the friendship that you think you have. You know, I wasn't even in it a year. I dislocated my ankle, and only three people continued to talk to me in my time out. Well, maybe five, but three. You, my cousin, because, you know, we're family, and one of our old friends, Mark, that you know, but you remember Mark, and that just kind of flew out the window. But,
kind of.
You know, it didn't take me long, where my cousin never really had time off like I did. We're almost a year, and even through now, so he's still friends with a lot of these people. And, you know, a lot of times I'm like, I don't give a shit about that guy or this guy. And, you know, my attitude was pretty negative, and I just wanted to go wrestle and get my money and leave, where everyone else wanted to be friends and hang out. But I also knew that when it came time to, those guys wouldn't be in my life if I decided to stop wrestling. And they're not, you know, because I didn't keep up with the wrestling.
You can look at it now. I mean, you look at you and I, neither of us have been in the wrestling business for a while now. I talked to maybe one or two guys at the most that are still involved in the business. You know, occasionally, like once every 6 or 8 months, I'll get a weird Facebook message from somebody asking me how I'm doing. But, you know, there's guys that I trained and I traveled with and, you know, I bled with in the ring and stuff that no longer speak to me. And I mean, we were tight as tight. And, you know, but it's kind of the nature of the business. And that's really, in reality, the way it works is they would rather see you go because it's one more spot they can move up. You know, now you're out of the way. You know, you're not eating up my limelight. But, you know, and I did want to just kind of precaution anybody who's reading these things. And now some of these are just horrible, horrible situations. But you do have to look out for, I saw one over the weekend by, and I don't remember if it was a guy or a girl. I thought it was a guy implicating a promoter's wife. And if I'm correct, he had screenshotted a bunch of stuff, and, you know, he was, you know, getting it out there for everybody to read, and then he put what was supposed to be the lewd picture the woman sent him, and the husband of the guy countered his accusations, and now this wrestler had said that this was from years ago, probably 3 or 4 years back, and when he screenshotted all this stuff, the guy countered with that he thought all these accusations were very interesting, and he's wondering how the guy got a picture that they just took 2 weeks ago and posted 4 years ago. So, you know, there are going to be some fakes out there, and, you know, you're going to have to figure out how you're going to, you know, weed through them. I know the WWE is dealing with one of the guys they just started to push on SmackDown, Matt Riddle. He's had an issue with a woman since 2018, to the point where, you know, she made accusations against him. But when you dig deeper into the story, not only Matt Riddle, but his wife had to get a restraining order against this woman. So, you know, you kind of wonder how much validity there is to a story like hers. And, you know, unfortunately, these are the kind of things that are going to hurt the women that this really happened to. You know, and again, like I said, fortunately for me, I was lucky to never have to witness it or really have to deal with it. You know, the worst I ever had was like the breakups and stuff like that. You know, when two wrestlers break up, they don't, you know, they've got to share a locker room and somehow figure out how to get along when they can't stand each other and they each start dating other wrestlers. So yeah, that was about it. I mean, I've seen a lot of guys hit on wrestlers or vice versa. I've seen a lot of women hit on wrestlers, you know, just didn't work out. You know, I've seen people that we brought into shows try to get wrestlers to go back to their hotel room with them. That was kind of interesting. So, you know, me personally, I never had any success doing anything. I got shot down more times than, you know, you'd think, but that's because they all wanted the younger guys, and I was just the old fat guy, so they didn't want to have anything to do with me. But yeah, it's just a you know, kind of a strange situation to see it all come out now, and I don't really know what got it started. But yeah, just all of a sudden,
you would have thought that it would have been put out there during the whole Me Too hashtag.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought that was the thing that was going to bring it out, but no. You know, and I know some of the stories are just, you know, just horrendous, and you know, you feel terrible for these women. You know, just just ridiculous. And I mean, you know, you and I both know guys who are complete asses. So
yeah. I didn't really hang out with them.
No, well, you know, I mean, you've worked with them, you know, you've been in the locker room with them, you know, you've seen their behavior, so.
Yeah, I mean, just to throw it out there, we had a guy who ran a company who, he got married, and his wife's sister married another wrestler, so they were all, like, really close, and we had a girl in our locker room. When she was younger, she was really something to look at. And she never changed in our locker room. She always, you know, left the room, went to the bath, wherever she went, she would always go change. And then, you know, whatever her outfit was. And then she'd be in the locker room, you know, finishing up makeup or, you know, whatever accessories she was putting on. And it just totally blew my mind that one of the guys who was married, well, I guess this doesn't, not the whole married part of it, because guys are guys. But just mature, which I thought, so I'm assuming that's lack of maturity, married, part of the, you know, in tune with the ownership of the promotion we were running, is sneaking around the locker room when she's not looking and snapping pictures of her with his cell phone, you know, if she was bending over to tie her shoe or to pull her socks up or tie, you know what I mean? And it just, you know, and this was the same girl who, if he would have just asked her for a picture, she would have posed for him anyways. But I just stood there in silence watching him creep out. And I'm like, you know, don't get me wrong. When if she bent over and I happened to be looking that way, I wasn't going to turn away. but I also wasn't standing there snapping pictures of her unknowingly while she's getting dressed.
Yeah, no, you know, sadly, I know plenty of guys who have, you know, done stuff like that. And, you know, obviously before phones were the thing, it was, you know, sneaking into the locker room just to watch the girls change. I used to, you know, years ago when you used to travel a lot, there was a Fed in Kentucky I always worked for that was a fantastic place to work, except for, yeah, just this one creeper who liked to sneak into the girls' locker room, and he was just a weird little dude. You know, and I mean, no matter how many times he was told not to do it, he kept doing it, and, you know, he kept getting booked because he was related to the owner. You know, they were cousins or, you know, something like that, cousins or nephew, you know, he was the nephew of the owner, something weird like that. And, yeah, I mean, I think every time I went down there, I saw somebody tell him, stay out of the girls' locker room. And every time, it's like, man, why doesn't somebody just beat this guy's ass? But you do that, you're not working there anymore because he's related to the owner.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you and I were put in situations where the men actually came with the women. You know, there's a lot of these small indie shows where a lot of this stuff takes place or gets started. You literally have to get undressed in front of each other. There's just no option. So it can be quite awkward, and I don't know if maybe that gives the guy, he thinks, well, I've already seen her with her clothes off, or I've seen her change, I can do whatever I want. Sorry, buddy, it doesn't give you that power.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
So, that and the fact, and, I don't know if we have any female listeners or, if anybody out there talks to any female wrestler who's in the business, don't buy the push idea. If they say, hey, well, we'll do this for you if you do this, don't buy it. He's lying to you. Flat out, it's untrue. It's not going to happen. If they tell you, we'll get you into WWE or AEW or Impact or wherever they're going to get you, it's a lie. Because you and I actually both know a guy who I believe removed a stump from your yard that used to use that line on women when he was running a Fed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He used to tell people that all the time. Oh, yeah, I can get you in with Impact. Never happened, but it worked for him over and over. So...
Well, and everyone fell for it.
Yeah.
And I had a big mouth, and I pissed off people and whatever. But, that's a whole other story. But, that's one of the things. We talk about how my cousin still wrestles, and, I haven't talked to him about this in a long time. So I don't know if he'd still be, if he's still on board with it. But I'm sure he would still love to get his son into wrestling. When the kid got older.
Yeah.
And, I remember there was some guy that was running around Chicago doing, interviews with indie guys trying to just get our names out there. And the thing I found hilarious was several of the indie guys, what advice would you give to someone trying to get into wrestling today? And, one guy who I didn't expect it to come. Yeah. Don't go to school.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know about you, Big Jack, but don't get me wrong. I had great times, you and I are still friends, we have that going for us. I had great times with it, but if my daughter or if I had a son and they were interested in it, I wouldn't disown them, but I also wouldn't really push them towards it.
Yeah, well, what I'm interested in is our good friend, Mr. Fantasy, who we haven't heard from here in quite a while. His son just got into wrestling. He started his amateur career last year, and he's begun to watch pro wrestling on television. So I'll be interested to see what happens when that path kind of comes down. And, obviously, like I said, I did it for about 25 years, and with the exception of the knee surgeries and the other injuries, I wouldn't give any of it back. The one thing that I would do differently is I would have finished college first before I started all that. I would have got the degree in something, even though I was working to absolutely nothing because I was just there to play sports. I would have finished up something with that first before going down the path. It was a blast. And before you guys got in and we were kind of more centrally localized, I would leave on a Thursday night, Friday morning, and I would come back on a Sunday night, Monday morning, and, you'd drive all over the place because that's how it was done. So then got to the point where you could literally get booked in 3 or 4 different feds in Chicago, so you didn't have to go anywhere. And I think that kind of hurt the business a little more. I think it was more exciting when you got to go all over the place. But, because it was, weird. You would hope to catch a Friday night booking and then try to get a double shot on Saturday and then hopefully find somebody running Sunday. and try to get four matches in over the weekend and then come home and go to your regular job. You know, so that was, you know, incredibly fun and exciting, and I love doing that. But, you know, now is when, you know, I'm out of the business and my knees hurt all the time, and, you know, there's other parts of my body that hurt for no reason other than the fact that I did stupid things in the ring for basically no money. So, you know,
yeah,
what I mean? Look
at
you. You dislocated your ankle and didn't get paid because it was a battle royal.
No, actually, that was a different one. But, no, I got my $20.
Oh, did
you? Dislocated
okay.
my ankle.
Yeah. So that was worth it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, my favorite part of my payday, though, it wasn't you who picked me up. It was Mark, you know, because you lived way too far from me and was out of your way. But, you know, you and I and Mark and my cousin all went to the bar after the next show that I was actually able to go to. And I went to the promoter, the tree stump guy, which he never came back to finish the stump. He cut down the tree. But that's neither here nor there. You know, he gave me the wrong quote anyway, so I actually robbed him. but that was his fault. You know, I went and asked him for my payday, and he was with some girl, and she's like, well, you know, he cut his tongue really bad, and he was bleeding all that night. And I looked at her, and I go, you realize I can't effing walk, right? And she looked down. And she didn't say anything, and she walked away. So, I think that's why I got treated a little different from him than, say, some other youngsters. Because I proved that day that I wasn't going to take any BS. You know, it was only $20, but it was the damn principle, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you know, I mean, like, you know, like I said, I don't care what it is, you're going to pay me. You know, we did this for you. I need you to pay me. You know, I got to quit gas in the car or stop and get something to eat, or I got to do something, so pay me.
Yep.
Oh, but here you go, Dan. I have some actual breaking sports news. This just came out. The players voted 33-5 to reject the Major League Baseball owner's new proposal. So
good. I want this over.
So,
just call the season already.
Yeah, you know, at this point, you know, let's call it. You know, I mean, you and I have been saying for how long we're not going to get a baseball season. And, you know, this I'm sure they'll cut, you know, because I know it was that 60-game proposal, but Rob Manfred made some tweaks to it. They said there were a couple changes, and they still shot it down. So I guess they're going to come back with that 70-game proposal, which the owners don't want. So,
I had to leave earlier today, so I did listen to some Chicago radio, and I mean, we're not the only ones. There's guys, of course, preaching for a shorter season to begin with, but he's like 60 games. it's a joke.
I just want it over. Just come on and say, hey, we're sorry, there's not going to be a 2020 season. We'll see you in spring training next year.
Yeah, and maybe even why. They were too scared, COVID.
Yeah. But, yeah, well, you know, that'll give us something to talk about.
Sportstimeradio.com.